Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally, and I am very happy to say, joined once again by Sean Boyd, reuniting the Double S Express tonight for a very big show. So much going on, Sean Boyd. Where to begin?
Well, you know, it's great being back, and hello, listeners out there, and you know, been gone for a little bit for about a week, maybe 2 weeks. With whatever the crud it was that I had, Sean Wally, and I'm still trying to come back from it. But what is new is, especially in our household, Sean Wally, the Baylor Bears against the Chaminade Silver Swords. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we're talking about the Maui Invitational in Hawaii. My son's team going against the daunted Big 12 team, winning another Big 12 team in the Baylor Bears. And right now, 28-28 in the first half, Chaminade Silver Swords hanging in there, man.
Tournament basketball in Hawaii, does it get any better than that? Sean Boyd, you were there in August to see your son off. And for those that don't know, your son, Devon Boyd, plays for the Chaminade Silver Swords, and he's a freshman in college and doing great things down there. And hopefully the team will do great things in the tournament.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, the team is doing right by him. I'm so excited about the decisions that are being made, both at the coaching level and with my son. My son had the choice of actually playing with the team or redshirting. And, you know, can you imagine a decision like that being given to a young adult and, you know, giving him a short period of time to come up with that decision? I truly believe in my heart of hearts he made the right choice as far as redshirting is concerned. The school is offered to pay for an extra year, so that's 5 years of schooling paid for, so he can get his degree in 4 years and his master's in five, so mommy and daddy are definitely proud. And, of course, the team thinks enough of him to bring him along on the trips, so he is getting a chance to get a feel, and it's almost like a rite of passage that the coaches are giving him as far as, you know, this is what you have accessible to you, getting a chance to play these top-notch Division I schools, and you know, going from there. And so, yeah, we're very excited about the decisions that Devon has made and so excited to get a chance to see him on the sidelines and on the bench and, you know, pumped up and rooting his team on.
And Sean, this is a great time, obviously, for your family and you personally having your son being a part of the Silver Swords team. And you've got family down there as well to root him on in this tournament.
Yeah, so, you know, my mother-in-law, father-in-law are there, and they took the time out to go and root him on, along with my aunt. And so he's got some family over there that's cheering him on and supporting him. And we've just been getting pictures and videos and more pictures. And, you know, he's getting gear and more gear. And, you know, I mean, man, he's living the life. And, again, I believe that all of this is a great learning experience for him so that when it comes time for him to take over the team at the point guard position – and mature at that level, he will have seen it as he is seeing it this weekend. And, of course, he will go out and execute to the best of his ability. And, again, I can't say enough, you know, because he's showing all signs that, you know, he has a tremendous upside.
Do you think it's very tough, since you've been there firsthand to Hawaii, to see quote-unquote paradise, and of course many people live there, many people travel there on a yearly basis, vacation there, and talking to your son, how tough is it to focus in and zero in on what I told him he needs to try and do, books and basketball, and not get sidetracked by being in paradise?
Well, you know, with the conversations that his mother and I have with him, I believe that it becomes a lot easier day by day. And just like anything, just like a shiny new toy that you get at Christmas, you're going to play with it a lot for the first few days and maybe the first couple of weeks. And then after a while, it becomes old hat and you get used to it and you start to adapt to that surrounding. And that's what Devon is doing. He's adapting to his surroundings. He understands that where he is at right now for the next five years is paradise. But he is taking it with a grain of salt, and he understands what his mission is. He understands what his goal is, and that is to get a good education, like as you're saying, Sean, and to be the best student, best athlete that he could possibly be. And I believe that he has a strong foundation, of course, that we've built here in his child rearing growing up, but also in the coaching staff at Chaminade. I believe that they are definitely, they're showing him what it's going to take to actually be successful at the Division II, Division I level.
And it's great for Devon Boyd to be able to focus on nutrition, working out, practicing, learning the Chaminade Silver Swords game, and getting those classes done to where when he gets to that final year, all he has to do is work out and play basketball. There should be hopefully no more school after the 4 years unless he chooses to keep going or it works out to where he needs another class or two. But that fifth year could very well be smooth sailing.
Yeah, you know, and if he plays his cards right, as you're saying, Sean, it could be smooth sailing for him with the understanding that he can take advantage of any educational opportunities that are given to him. And I believe that he is maturing in that, in those areas, and he understands the game plan. Now, let's make no bones about it. His ultimate dream, just like any other young man who plays, started playing at the Pop Warner and the youth basketball levels, his ultimate dream is to make it to the NBA. That's not a far-fetched goal. That is a dream. And we teach our children to pursue that dream. We teach them that, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, that a man without vision perishes. And, you know, that he should go for that ultimate dream. At the same time, understand what his purpose is in life and moving forward and being the best that he, not just the best basketball player or the best athlete that he can be, not just the best student that he can be, but more importantly, the best person that he can possibly be. And so I believe that he's in the right place, even though, you know, as a parent, you miss your child dearly. And of course, being over in Honolulu, which is 5 hours away from us on the West Coast, you know, it makes it tough. But at the same time, you know, I feel great in knowing that he is showing a great level of maturity and growing each and every day. And that's all that a parent could ask for.
And somebody that knows about taking your game from the college level to the pros is with us now on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines. And that is former Seattle Seahawk, current member of the Seahawk Radio Network, Paul Moyer. Paul, thanks so much for joining us here tonight.
Well, pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on, Paul. And man, you know, we could start with the Seattle Seahawks, but I would like to start with your alma mater, the Arizona State Sun Devils, and such a great job that they are doing this year. Thus far, what kind of predictions do you have for them as far as a bowling is concerned?
Well, I've always thought, you know, that's you know, when I was there back in the early '80s, you know, it was a diamond in the rough, you know, a place that when, you know, athletes wherever you were in the country, once you visited, you know, in Tempe, it was something that you had said, huh, you know, this is pretty fascinating. And back in the early '80s, you know, they had great facilities. Unfortunately, 30 years later, their facilities are probably the doormat of the Pac-12. But I know they're trying to rectify that. You know, so they've always, you know, they're always that team that everybody goes, you know, they're the sleeper. You know, they're the team that, you know, gets these athletes and always seem to disappoint along the way. You know, I think they finally have some good leadership. You know, that when they hired Dennis Erickson, who I was not a fan of and kind of disowned my alma mater for 4 or 5 years. I'm slowly letting them come back into my good graces. I feel like they've turned it around. I think they really, from the top down, you know, have the right people in place. They're going to get new facilities, and you know, I think over the next few years, you know, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. So, I think they're going to upset Stanford. There's the long-winded answer to your question, and I think they're going to go to the Rose Bowl and hopefully represent the Pac-12 well.
I think that's a great choice. I know that Aaron Levine from Q13 Sports up in Seattle would probably beg to differ. But that's going to be a great matchup this weekend. You know, so with Arizona State, you know, in your recruiting process, because Sean and I started the show talking about some of the things that my son is doing as far as he's a freshman at Chaminade University playing basketball. What were some of the things that were going through your mind as a freshman, making the decision to go to Arizona State, trying to adapt to that new college feel?
It's tough. You know, it's, you know, Arizona State is one, I think it's either first, second, they alternate back and forth with Ohio State as the largest school in the country. So, you know, so when I went there, it was just, you know, a mammoth school. You know, you're with, you know, I was truly with one of the elite couple of classes in NCAA history. We led the country in offense my junior year, led the country in defense my senior year. It's never happened before. And I think we had 27 guys in 2 years playing the NFL. You know, so you got a rude awakening of, you know, what athletes were and how you had to compete. And as you know, your son's going through this, you know, far away from his parents. And, you know, you learn to become a man. I mean, that's really what college is all about, is learning to become mature and finding your way. My son's a redshirt junior down at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo playing football. And, you know, you watch the maturity of them their freshman year to where they are 3-4 years later. You're going to be amazed when he comes back for Christmas. Oh, if he comes back for Christmas, he's playing basketball.
Yeah.
That's right. Are they playing Baylor right now?
As a matter, yes, they are.
Okay, I'm watching the game here as I speak to you. Very cool.
So, and they're up 39-33 as we speak. So
I love that.
Man, they're doing an awesome job.
That's exciting.
Paul Moyer, kind enough to join us on the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. Paul, what was the biggest thing that you learned making that transition from ASU to the pros?
Well, I think, you know, going to ASU really did prepare me. I was fortunate that I was with around some really good football teams, really good players, great coaching staff. A bunch of them went on and coached in the NFL as well. And so I kind of got weaned into it. My senior year, I played in the East-West Shrine Game, and John Elway and I were the MVPs of the East-West Shrine Game. And that kind of gave me the confidence that, okay, you know, I can play. You know, it's you know, if you just go out and hit every single play, there's an opportunity to make a living at this. I was fortunate again that Chuck Knox, it was his first year coming to the Seahawks. It was a new coaching staff. So when I went up there, I felt like, you know, one of my strengths was picking up, you know, defenses, and felt I was one of the smarter guys out there. And I thought that gave me at least an opportunity on an even playing field. So I just, you know, for me, I've just been blessed. I've had great opportunities. I tell everybody in life, you know, opportunities come. Make sure you take a hard look at them, and you know, obviously do the best you can and your God-given talent and move forward.
Paul, in your playing days in the defensive backfield for the Seattle Seahawks, what were some of your fondest memories and takeaways? Was it specific games? Was it just camaraderie of the friendships you've made? What do you take away most from your playing days?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, again, I throw this out a lot, but I say I've been very blessed. I've been doing this 31 years, you know, as the, you know, unique only player coach, broadcaster in Seahawks history. You know, met my wife, who was a Seagal at the time, and, you know, 24 years later, two great kids. So, you know, I've been, you know, pretty fortunate along the way. But I've had some really good people around me. You know, I think of, you know, in 83, the group of guys that we had, Steve Largent, Dave Brown, Jim Zorn, Sherman Smith. I mean, we had just great character guys who were hard workers, loved the game of football, but also, you know, away from football, knew how to do things the right way, good family people. We didn't have a lot of guys getting in trouble. And, you know, so I just had really good, you know, people, good role models growing up, you know, that were actually on my team. So, you know, I think that's just part of it for me. It's just that, you know, I learned a work ethic and how to compete, you know, at a very, you know, young age in the NFL. We had some obviously huge games. I think the biggest memory for me was obviously beating Miami in 1983 to have the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl the next week against the Raiders. And just the fan support we had when we came back from It was on New Year's Eve day. Actually, it was on New Year's Eve day, not New Year's Day, when we beat Miami. And when we came back to the airport, there was about 10,000 people waiting for us. And this town was just, it was crazy. Nothing like I'd ever seen. Until this year, of course. I think this team has surpassed that excitement. But, you know, that was a very memorable game. And, you know, probably 1988, after we traded Kenny Easley, who was one of my best friends. And that was the first year I started. I led the team in the interceptions with 6 that year. And it just, again, it was one of those confidence builders that, you know, I can play in this league. And sometimes you just need that. You need something, you know, to kind of go, okay, you know, work hard. You're not as bad as you think you are.
Paul Moyer, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Paul, you had mentioned some great memories for me, actually, in going back to 1983. And unfortunately, I'm not a Seattle Seahawks fan. I'm lineaged into Oakland. My uncle played for the Oakland Raiders back in the 70s, and I can remember those times in the 80s. And I remember the fond memories of, you know, Raider Busters coming out. Yeah. There was such a fanfare in Seattle that hadn't been there for a while. And, you know, of course, you'd mentioned, you know, 1983 and, you know, playing and beating Miami. And I remember that excitement that was building in Seattle because the Super Bowl was in Tampa Bay and, you know, Kurt Warner was doing his thing and Dave Craig was coming into his own. And, you know, there's Paul Moyer. And I remember watching you play, and this is the God's honest truth. Before there was a John Lynch, there was a Paul Moyer. And the excitement that you brought at the safety level, the level of intensity, you know, just the headsy play. You know, I remember when Los Angeles at the time would play, I thought, man, you know, I hope they don't throw it into his area. Because there was Dave Brown and then there was yourself. And you guys were kind of, it seemed like you were always around the ball. And those were the memories that I remember, you know, growing up as a kid and getting the chance to watch you play, man.
Well, I grew up a Raider fan as well. The Immaculate Reception was the first time I remember crying watching a sporting event and my dad having to console me. Huge Raider fan growing up. And, you know, so it was weird that when I, you know, made it in the NFL and all of a sudden I'm playing against, you know, Jim Plunkett and Marcus Allen and those guys. And, you know, they had a great team. We happened to beat them twice in the regular season. And so when we played in the AFC Championship game, you know, we had some confidence, but I've talked with Howie Long since, and Howie talks about how they were ready for us. I mean, they were upset, one, that they had lost twice to us that year. They didn't like things that were being said in the paper, and they were absolutely the better team. I mean, they were loaded, especially defensively. So they put a real whooping on us along the way. I appreciate kind words. We had a great secondary that year. I mean, we had Kenny Easley, who to me is still the greatest safety that's ever played the game. Dave Brown, as you mentioned. John Harris, who's probably the smartest player I've ever been around. He was a genius on the football field and, you know, what he could remember. And, again, it was just what they taught. I mean, they were playmakers. They taught hard work. We watched a lot of film. Great camaraderie along the way. If you ask Tom Flores, when he saw me out there, they were always trying to beat me deep, but they never could.
Right.
Because he said I was wily. But yeah, those were great memories, and I was really blessed to be around some great players during my career.
So talking about that team in '83, and comparing that team to today's team. Now the '83 team, let's face it. I mean, they snuck up on a lot of people in the AFC West back then. Do you see any similarities with the 83 team to the team that's playing today?
Maybe last year's team, where they were young. We were an expansion team. They hadn't ever been to the playoffs. You know, so we had some pretty good draft picks, you know, early. I mean, you had Jacob Green, you had Kenny Easley, you had Kurt Warner, you know, so, you know, that 3-4 year time frame, you know, we had some players. We got fortunate to get Dave Brown in the expansion draft. Pittsburgh didn't protect him. And so when you go and look at some of these guys' careers, you know, they're, you know, obviously Ring of Honor careers with the Seahawks, but, you know, they're potential Hall of Fame careers, if not for injuries. If, you know, Kurt Warner doesn't blow his knee out, if Kenny Easley doesn't have his kidney ailment, you know, there's two more Hall of Famers, you know, probably in Canton today. You know, what we had from a defensive standpoint, it was just an amazing amount of playmakers. Matter of fact, the 84 team, I don't think that record will ever be broken. The most turnovers ever created in NFL history, that's not going to be touched. We had over 60 turnovers that year. I mean, you think about it, it's over four a game, every game. You know, it's just a crazy group of guys that just, you know, started to steamroll. What this team is, they're just a better team. They're a better team top to bottom, more depth. They have playmakers at every position. They've got, you know, every position covered. Great quarterback, great running back, good tackles when they're healthy. You know, they can rush the quarterback. Their linebackers are fast. They're just, you know, top to bottom, the 22 starters were better than we were in 83 and 84. But defensively, you know, we could create some turnovers, and I think this team is a team that has that potential as well.
Paul, how excited are you looking forward to the Monday night matchup with the New Orleans Saints coming up next Monday night at CenturyLink? The 10-1 Seahawks, the 9-2 New Orleans Saints, both will be very rested. Should be a great matchup.
Yeah, I think the whole, you know, country is excited to see this one. You know, it's, you know, clearly I think it's the two best teams in the NFL. You know, New England, great comeback last night against Denver, and I think Denver's, you know, a team that on a neutral field, if the weather's great and Manning's playing at his best, it would be a nice matchup for the Seahawks. But I think, you know, the Seahawks and New England or New Orleans are the two best teams right now on both sides of the football. Good defenses, good offenses, very different in how they go about it. I think that, you know, the Seattle area is going to be crazy. It was ridiculous, you know, the second week of the season against San Francisco on Sunday night. I think this one may surpass it just because it's got so much on the line. You know, if we win, we pretty much clinch home field advantage throughout because we'd have a three-game lead because of the tiebreaker against New Orleans. We'd have three or four-game lead against San Francisco. So it's a big game, and those kind of games are always fun to broadcast and prepare for.
Paul, real quick, your thoughts on number three, Russell Wilson.
I just think he's so special. He's a great quarterback. We're seeing that. There's something unique about him, the way he sees the game, the way he feels pressure, the way he prepares, the confidence he has. You know, his leadership ability is truly second to none. Guys like him just don't come around very often. But he's so much more than that. You know, we get to see that once a week, you know, for 3 hours on Sunday or Thursdays or Monday, whatever days they're playing. And we get to admire his playing ability. But what he does off the field and how he's brought this community to love the Seahawks, because I really believe he's the biggest reason, the way he connects with this community. You know, I tell everybody, I said, there's a lot of role models out there that are easy to point that aren't good role models. You know, we know what those look like. You know, I often laugh. I go, this whole, you know, deal with Miami. I go, do we really got to point out what poor behavior is? Do we got to point that? Probably not, right? We kind of get that.
Right.
I go, but it's hard to find, or it's more difficult to find, the great role models. And they're out there. We just don't talk about them as much. They're not in the limelight as much for whatever reason. And Russell Wilson and some of the other guys on his team are truly second to none. And go watch some of his commercials. He has one commercial where he's got his own iPad app, or, you know, an app where you can go to Russell Wilson and you can ask him any question. You can ask him about his life growing up, how football was to him, his pressures, you know, how his marriage is, all these things. And, you know, it's so unique in how he goes about that he wants people, like, he's a strong Christian guy that he walks it. He doesn't have to talk it all day long. I'm going to walk it, you know, follow my lead, and it really comes out because he's a truly unique individual.
Paul Moyer, thanks so much for your time tonight. I look forward to meeting you on Monday night for the big matchup with the Saints. Appreciate you hopping on tonight, joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Thanks, Paul.
Well, thank pleasure. You, Paul. And we hope Baylor loses tonight in basketball.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Hey, Paul, just one quick question. So some of the things that you're doing now, how can people get a hold of you? What are some of the – are you doing anything in the public as far as, you know, fundraisers or – clinics, or what's going on with Paul Moyer these days?
Well, I have a busy life. I do the Seahawk broadcast, or the pregame, halftime, postgame with some of the guys on the Seahawk radio network. That's fun for me. It's not a pay, and it pays, but it doesn't pay my bills. I'm a director for an asset management firm, a company called Alliance Bernstein. I'm their Northwest director up here. So I travel a lot, and that keeps me busy Monday through Saturday. Blessed life, and the best way to find me is during the summer on a golf course at some charity event.
There you go. Hopefully, right. When I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, we'll get together and we'll test each other's golf swings out there.
I've got a nice blue and green Seahawk jersey that you can wear, and it'll cover up your Raider jerseys that don't do very well.
Paul, I would love that. That would be great.
You got
put Sean Boyd in the right colors.
Those colors are the best. They go with everybody, so it's perfect. I can't wait for you guys to wear it.
Yeah. Well, I know that they're wearing it down here in Northern California for the actual NFC West foe, and I can't believe that so many 49er fans are wearing, you know, the blue and the green.
You know, I tell you what, it is quite remarkable. I mean, the Seahawks, the way they travel now is remarkable. If you've watched any of their Thursday night, Sunday night games, you know, afterwards, the amount of, you know, there's 2,000-3,000 people after the game, you know, cheering and, you know, waiting for the guys to come do the interviews. So, you know, they've become a marketing guru in the NFL, and probably one of the most marketable teams in the NFL, a lot because of Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman and you know, Marshawn Lynch. They've got a lot of characters on the team. But, yeah, it's fun to see Seahawk jerseys everywhere you go around the country now.
Well, it's good to have the Seahawks in the NFC West, and so if there is ever a time that I could break away, I guess that I could show a little bit of favor towards Seattle now that they're out of the division. So
we're going to bring you along. Trust me.
Paul, have a great Thanksgiving with you and your family, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Likewise, guys. Appreciate him having on.
All right.
Be good.
There goes Paul Moyer, longtime safety for the Seattle Seahawks, as well as a coach after he quit playing, defensive backs coach, and now still sticking around with the organization on Seahawks Radio Network, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, he mentioned a lot of players that, you know, that brought back memories. He mentioned Dave Brown, you know, being opposite him at safety. Of course, Kenny Easley as well, you know, when he was coming into the league. And, I mean, man, that Seahawks defense was tough. And, of course, with Jacob Green on the defensive end as well. So those are fun things to think about, man. And we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we'll have guest number two. There are exciting times in front of us on the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Big time guest number one was Paul Moyer of the Seattle Seahawks Radio Network, formerly a Seahawk player and coach, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, it was a pleasure having Paul on, you know, on the double. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, just great company and having great guests on the show. You know, Paul had a lot of insight, you know, as far as, you know, what he was going through going into, you know, going into college and, you know, just sharing with us, you know, some of the great times that he had as a Seahawk. Didn't really get a chance to talk too much about the coaching aspect, but man, he had a lot of knowledge. And again, it was a pleasure having him on.
So as we await big time guest number two here any moment here on the double with the Double S Express, Sean, let's get into a little bit. Well, where do we want to go? There's issues again up in Seattle. There was an NBA trade in your neck of the woods. Take your pick.
Man, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned what's going on up in Seattle because, you know, believe it or not, that's been something that I've been thinking about all day. And, you know, there are lots of teams that welcome the opportunity to become better. And, you know, with becoming better comes that strong deal of responsibility, kind of like the same stuff that we're talking about with, you know, my son in college. And at what point do you have a professional player actually do a gut check and say, man, you know, I don't want to do this because this would jeopardize my career. And, you know, Seattle is clicking. I believe that they'll continue to move forward and do great things. And as the weeks go on, they look more and more like the NFC pick going into the Super Bowl. You just don't want things to tarnish what they're doing on the way to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, it is. It's a little disheartening, but at the same time, we can't be judgmental because this is the humanistic part of, you know, of adulthood. This is the humanistic part of playing a professional sport. But man, it sure does put a bitter pill in your mouth as far as what's going on up there.
And we'll have more time after big time guest number two to get to the issues in Seattle. And let's go back out to the phone lines, the holysmokenuts.com phone line, and welcome in Jason Gesser, quarterback coach at the University of Wyoming. Jason, thanks so much for joining us here tonight on the double.
No problem. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, Jason, thanks for being on the show again, man. So tell us, how was practice today?
Practice was good. You know, it's our guys have gotten used to it. I think the new schedule this year, something that we're all getting used to as the coaches and we're getting to the end of the season. So, but doing practices on Monday, early in the morning, you know, after playing on Saturday, it's a quick turnaround because of the fact of you play a game on Saturday, you got to come up, finish that game on Sunday, game plan, get things going on Sunday all the way until Sunday night. To prepare for practice on Monday morning, you know, so it's been pretty good. Our players have adjusted. We've adjusted as coaches, obviously, getting to the end of the season. And, you know, today we're a little banged up across the board, as every team in the country right now is banged up across the board going into game 12. But, you know, our guys got some pop out there, and they're hungry to get this sixth win and get to a bowl game.
Now, I'm going to go from where we are present, and then we're going to rewind a little bit to the first interview. So, of course, this past week, 59-56 win over Hawaii. Great win at home. The beginning of the season, because I know that, you know, there were some high expectations in Wyoming as far as how Wyoming was going to step out and take on the season. Very close loss to Nebraska, 37-34, the first game of the season. And then the middle of the season, actually as of late, I'd probably say, what, four out of the last five games were losses. Kind of explain to our listeners you know, the rigors of an NCAA season?
It's tough, you know. You know, personally, I knew and we knew as a staff going into the season that we kind of had it broken up into three mini seasons. We had two byes perfectly placed throughout our schedule. And we knew that before we made this run at the end, going in to San Jose State, that we were needed to get, you know, five, six, if not seven wins by that time. And these last couple games, you know, San Jose State is coming off of a 10-win season. They got a great team over there and a great quarterback. We all know what Fresno State's doing right now. We all know what Boise State's doing right now. You know, and then we had Hawaii this last week and then finishing off with Utah State. So, you know, as you open up the season with Nebraska, and we had some games in there that we were supposed to win, like Idaho and Northern Colorado, got back on Air Force last year was a game that that we lost against Air Force, a close one. We got that back on us. And then I think the biggest one that kind of hurt us was when we went down to Texas State. You know, personally, I feel that our guys felt that, hey, you know what, we should beat these guys. We're going to go down there. We should show up and we should win. Well, Texas State's got a pretty darn good program. And we had a three-hour lightning delay or whatever it may be like that was in the middle of that game. And, you know, they wore us out throughout that game, and they ended up coming out on top late. And so I think that game was kind of a tilter or a little throw in the side, if you want to say, throughout the season. But then we bounced back against New Mexico State. And then, that Colorado State game here at home, they just came out and really, I think it was, again, one of those things that you talk about with Texas State. You know, we've beaten them for 4 years in a row. We're 4-2 at that time. They're 2-4. But they had a hard schedule front end of the season and a lighter one at the end of the season, what they're going through now. So they came out and shocked us on that one. You know, and I think we kind of got, I don't know what you want to call it, punch drunk or whatever it may be, but we got stunned by those guys. And really kind of took our season for a turn at that point. You know, and then the heartbreaker against San Jose State, them scoring on the last play of the game to win that game. And then we knew, you know, going to Fresno and Boise, we were going to have to play perfect. So it's not easy, you know, week in and week out. And that's why you see all these teams that go out there. You know, I was used to playing in the Pac-10, which is now the Pac-12. Every single week it's tough. And I'll tell you this right now, the Mountain West Conference is the best non-BCS conference in the country. You know, I know people in the MAC are going to get mad about that, and Conference USA, I really don't care. But top to bottom, the Mountain West Conference is probably it is the best non-BCS conference out there, and we got some really good talent and some really good teams across the board. So it's not an easy deal.
Jason Gesser joining us, the quarterback coach at University of Wyoming. Jason, are you ready for the Bridgers battle this weekend at Utah State?
You know, I think we're getting there. We're getting there. They got a great team. Obviously, me being in Idaho the last 2 years, faced these guys in the WAC when it was the WAC. You know what kind of program they have, know what kind of players they have, and we're gonna have to be on top of our game. You know, you put these guys up in the same category as a Boise and a Fresno. They have those type of players, if not better, and the structure of their offense and defense. You know, we all know that they lost their starting quarterback, Chucky Keaton, earlier in the year, and he's a stud. You know, and you hate to see those kind of things happen to especially big-time quarterbacks or big-time players, period, you know. But their true freshman quarterback out of Arizona, you know, I remember recruiting him over at Idaho, and he was coming out of Chandler High School, and he's a good player. You know, he's got some games under his belt now. Their offense is doing some good things. Their defense is phenomenal. I mean, they're holding guys, I want to say, to 17 points a game on average right now. They're top 20 in the country in a lot of stats and rankings right now for their defensive categories. So we're getting ready each day. You know, each day that we watch them more and more on film and get another practice under our belt, we get more and more comfortable with them. Although they're a very sporadic defense, a very unpredictable defense. They do a lot of different looks, a lot of different things to keep you on your toes. So by the time game time comes around, we're going to be more than ready for them. And we just got to go out there next year at that time.
And with this Bridgers battle at Utah State, there is a 50 caliber Hawken rifle on the line. Have you ever played a football game where a rifle was on the line? I'm guessing not.
No, I play games where apples were on the line, you know, but I don't know about an apple cup, but I don't know about a rifle or anything like that, or boots. You know, I play games with the boot on the line and an apple, but never a rifle. So it's going to be a first, but it's good. You know, last week was a first. You know, we got the Paniolo Trophy back out for the Hawaiian Cowboys in our rival game against Hawaii. The last time that Wyoming played against Hawaii was back in the 90s, I want to say, back when I was in high school. And so they were in the whack the whole time, and then they bounced back to the Mountain West Conference, obviously, this year. And so we got that trophy back under our belt over here, and now we got to get that rifle up over here in Wyoming. So we'll definitely, it's definitely a new one, but it'll be a pretty cool one if we can get it.
Jason Gesser, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Jason, you talked a little bit about your foundation back in Honolulu, St. Louis High School. Give us a little bit, because you paved the way pretty much. You know, I know that there are a lot of quarterbacks that have come out of St. Louis High School. Marcus Mariota at the University of Oregon. Kind of give us a look at, you know, some of the things that he's going or that he might be going through right now as a sophomore. And, of course, when you played, you understood, you know, as you were coming into your own at Washington State. What are some of the things that are going on in his mind, especially after a couple of losses as of recent?
You know, anytime when you play the quarterback position, and I think it goes for any position, but especially in the quarterback position, if you win, you're getting all the glory, no matter how good you play, really, at the end of the day. Your team won. You know, at the end of the day, for a quarterback, the bottom line, everybody looks at what? Wins and losses. You know, what's your record as a quarterback? And when you lose a couple of games, and especially when you're not used to losing, you start to wonder, am I doing the right things? You know, we went through it over here when we had a four-game skit. You know, I had to, with Brett Smith, I had to get his confidence back, let him know, you know, show him film of previous things that he's done earlier this year and even last year to get his confidence and let him know, hey, you can play with the best of them. And that's what Marcus needs to do right now. And you know what? The thing that's the best thing about Marcus is that he's got such a good head on his shoulders, and he's got such a great staff surrounding him, like Coach Frost and all those guys. You know, Coach Frost has been there. He's been, up Heisman, all that kind of stuff, big-time games, play for national championships and things like that. So he knows what it's going through, and he knows how to, keep his guy on task. Anytime you do lose, you start to question, hey, am I doing the right things? Are we doing the right things? What am I messing up on? Things like that and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, I think with the guys that he's got surrounding him right now, not just players-wise, but coaches and his foundation of what he came up in, because I know exactly what he came up in and growing from St. Louis and Coach Vinny Passes are, he had the same quarterback coach that I had growing up. And things that he learned there, it's going to get him through, and he'll be more than just fine. Trust me. I mean, the kid has got every physical tool known to man, and not to mention the head on top of his shoulders to go along with it. So we're real proud of what he's doing. I'm personally really proud of what he's accomplished, and we all hang our hat on him of saying, hey, he's holding a torch high for St. Louis right now. You know, when we were playing. With myself, Darnell Arsenal, and Timmy Chang were, all three of us were playing at the same time in college football and Division One and starting, and we were all trying to hold that torch for St. Louis, and he's holding it high and proud right now, and we're really proud of him. So
that's a great deal of pride that you have, and of course, I had the chance to go onto the campus this past summer. I actually did one of the shows. We did one of the On the Double with the Double S Express shows from Honolulu, from St. Louis High School. Of course, my son going to college at Chaminade University, so a part of the St. Louis schools, if you will. And so, I got a chance to see how St. Louis, how the football team functions, very disciplined. I mean, everything from walking from the classroom to the locker room onto the practice field, very disciplined crew. And it gave me an idea on what it was that you came from and what made you so successful. So hats off to St. Louis High School, because I am a true fan of what goes on there in Honolulu.
Well, I appreciate it, you know, and that goes to attest to, you know, the Lee brothers and Coach Ron Lee and Coach Cowley, and Paul Hiley and Coach Vinny Pastis, and, you know, this is the history that's gone through there. You know, to be at one school and to win 14 state championships in a row and have that kind of dominance, you know, to never lose a game in a high school career of 2-3 year span, to do those type of things, you've got to have great discipline in your players. And the foundation, the thing that they put on everybody over there, you know, it wasn't just a prolific run and shoot offense. It wasn't just better players. We had good guys out there. We had great players, but they coached us up, man. I mean, and they held it to a standard. And that was the one thing I think that carried, you know, you look at any of the St. Louis guys and that go on from there, and have success, it's that standard. You know, you don't expect nothing but to be the greatest. And if you're not the greatest, something's wrong, and you better work your way up to be the greatest. And it doesn't matter if you win by 5 or 7, you got to win by 70. You know what I mean? It was like, it was no matter what, we had to be perfect. I remember, you know, I can really remember, it was my junior year, and just had a really good game against, I think it was Kamehameha, and ended up going like 12 or 13 for, you know, 300 and something yards and like 4 touchdowns or whatever it was. And got pulled at the first half. You know what I mean? It was the first half, and we were, you know, didn't play the second half. And we're walking out to practice the next day on a Saturday, going through our walkthrough. Coach Vinny, our quarterback coach, he's on me. He's like, "Well, what the hell happened on that incomplete pass?" And I'm sitting there going, "Coach, it was, you know, it was one incomplete." He goes, "Yeah, that was my perfect game. You're supposed to have a perfect game." He goes, "What was your read?" And I go, "Well, the read, you know, the read was outside back." "Well, what did the outside backer do?" "Well, he dropped. So you should have took it flat. Why'd you throw the post?" You know, and he's all on me on it. You know, and it was just those little things that they were always ingrained in you. And no matter what you did, you had to do better. You know, and they're always pushing you to be the best. And that was the foundation, not just from the coaches, but from the players. The players held the players accountable as well too. If you weren't pulling your job and pulling your weight, those other guys were going to let you know. You know, and that's the coolest thing about having and coming from a tradition like that and a background that way, because it's still into me today, and I'm trying to instill into all these kids and college kids and high school kids that I know across the country. So,
well, that's awesome. I mean, with the understanding that 158 is perfect on the QBR rating, Coach was trying to get you to 160, it sounds like. And so, you know,
yes,
amazing.
Exactly.
Amazing.
And I don't blame him. You know, he was just doing his job. So.
So,
Jason, of course, you played your college ball at Washington State, and you touched on playing for Apples, and as you know, it is rivalry week, and the Apple Cup is this Friday. What are your fondest memories of playing in the Apple Cup?
You know, I didn't have too many fond memories. We weren't too successful against the Huskies my term there. Both years that I had a chance to play, you know, my freshman year, I came back off of a thumb surgery, so I came in, ran for about 100 yards, but we lost by 10. And came in, fell some time with the senior quarterback, Steve Birnbaum. Sophomore year, I had a broken leg, wasn't able to play. That was the year they went to the Rose Bowl. They kind of spanked on us pretty good. Junior year, we were supposed to beat them. You know, we're number 3 in the country in the BCS, and we're playing in their house, and we turned the ball over 5 times. Going in to score inside not only the red zone but inside the 10-yard line, and so we end up losing that game by 7 or 10. And then my senior year, we're up on them in the fourth quarter, and then I end up messing up my knee and my ankle, and wasn't able to finish that game. And they came back and ended up beating us in double overtime. So I haven't had too many fond memories about it, but you know, the one thing I do remember, and I'll vividly remember it, is my first year up there, and I was a scout team quarterback, and you know, I was redshirted and everything, going up against the number 1 defense, and usually they lay off the quarterback. They don't hit you, you know, even when you're in the scout team, they'll kind of come up and give you a little nudge or give you a little shove or whatever. Maybe they're not going to smack on you, you know. And so it was the first play of practice, and we're out in Martin Stadium, and it was in the old turf, and the old turf was just hard as cement, you know, and it's about 20 degrees outside, freezing, and first play goes out, and they come on a cross dog blitz on the inside, and I get the ball off to the hot, and
Zbleason just lights me up. I mean, just straight, just kills me. He picks me up, fries me right to the ground. I mean, the hit hurt, but then the hit on the ground hurt twice as much because it felt like cement. And I was like, what in the world? And he stands over me and he goes, hey, welcome to Apple Cup week, rookie. And I was sitting there going, okay, I guess it's a different week now. So, but the level of practice got turned up. Everything is magnified by 1,000. That game means so much to all those players and to all the fans. It's one of the greatest rivalries in the country. And, you know, I was just fortunate enough to be a part of them, even though I didn't have the best memories about them. There were still some good plays and some good times with the teammates and things like that. So,
definitely, Apple Cup weekend, one of the biggest in grandeur for NCAA college football. And now, for you, of course, being the quarterback's coach at the University of Wyoming, teams 5-6 right now, I believe one more victory, would that put you in bowl eligibility?
Yes, that would, you know, and that's the one thing we're playing for. So we're playing to get to that that sixth win and to be bowl eligible and to, you know, extend our season. So our back's against the wall and we got to come out swinging.
So, yeah, no doubt about it. I know that the fervor, the hair on the back of your neck is standing up because it's Apple Cup week and your intensity has probably jumped some tenfold, and so these quarterbacks don't know what's hitting them early in the week. But I can guarantee that there will be a successful victory down there in Logan, Utah, against Utah State. And the best of luck to you on that this weekend, my friend.
Well, I really appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it. You know, the best thing we can do is prepare to the fullest and throw the ball out there on Saturday and see what happens. So, but we're going to do everything we possibly can to get that W.
So last question for me. Of course, St. Louis High School being on the campus with Chaminade University. Chaminade in a dogfight right now in the Maui Invitational against the Baylor Bears.
Really?
Man, and it looks like Baylor is starting to step out. They're up to a 10-point lead with about 13 minutes to go. But, do you support the St. Louis schools and Chaminade as well? And have you been, you know, donating to the university?
You know, I haven't had a chance to donate back, but I support them every chance I can, anytime I get to see them or anything I can do for them. You know, I'm always sending things back or doing whatever I can. You know, obviously, we share a campus there, and I was on that campus for a good, you know, about six years, starting off in seventh grade there. And so, you know, it's one of those things where you wish you could do more, and you're just so wound up and tight with everything you're doing now that you kind of forget about things. And I will start, you know, trying to get back as much as I possibly can to Chaminade. And I already do that as well to my alma mater at St. Louis and at Washington State. But, you know, I'm always trying to support Chaminade as much as I possibly can and pulling for them and doing whatever I can for them. So it's cool to hear that they're in a dogfight right now, Baylor. I mean, they've always had a good basketball team. And you know, it's pretty cool that when I went to school there, we all used to go and play some pickup basketball games against their basketball team. And they'd always whoop up on us, but it was always a fun time, so.
Sounds like a new arena is in the works for the St. Louis schools, and so that will be, I believe, completed by January of 2015. So there's some great things going on the campus, and so you know, just happy that you are supporting and excited for you and the great things that you're doing at Wyoming, and keep up the great work, man.
Well, I truly appreciate it, man. I thanks for having me on, and anything I can do to help you guys out, just let me know.
Well, Jason, if anything, I can tell you that from having you on and being down at Wyoming and then, of course, your Pacific Northwest ties, you have gained a Wyoming viewer from afar whenever your football games are on any of the ESPN networks, and I've seen a handful of them. I notice them. I look out for them and turn them on, and I actually have some interest now. So you've gained a Wyoming Cowboy viewer from afar.
Yes.
Well, I truly appreciate that. Hopefully we'll put a good show for you this weekend.
Jason, thanks so much for your time and joining us here one more time on the Double with the Double S Express, and have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care.
Jason Gesser, kind enough to join us one more time on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd, and goodness, so many good things that Jason had to say, and we've got a lot more to get to, and why don't you tell everybody what's coming up after the break.
Well, yeah, we're going to catch up on some NFL news. Of course, there's the Monday night football game that's going on right now. The San Francisco 49ers doing a number on the Washington Redskins. So we'll talk about that. Probably talk about a little bit more NBA. But more sports to come. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, Platinum Service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Sean Boyd's favorite music coming back from break here on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, and there's a Monday night football game going on right now.
Man, you know, I just wanted to talk a little bit what we were talking about over the break. Man, you know what, Jason, I apologize to you, my friend. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. Man, I know that you're doing some great things with a lot of the universities and stuff, and, you know, I thought about it, and shoot. I feel bad, man. So please forgive me for that. And God, I feel like such an idiot.
That came from left field from my perspective.
Yeah, well, you know, it came from left field for me also. So I don't know. Jeez. But yeah, hey, Jason, man, we love you, man, and keep being on the show with us. But yeah, so there's a Monday night game going on, and the San Francisco 49ers taking care of business. Trying to stay paced, Sean Wally, not with the Seattle Seahawks, but the second place Arizona Cardinals.
Carson Palmer led Arizona Cardinals. Did you think that was going to happen at the beginning of the year?
Well, you know, I've always known Carson Palmer to be a good quarterback. Make no bones about it. He is a decent and a very good quarterback. The knock on him was that, you know, he's getting a little long in the tooth, and nobody knew how good he could actually be. Well, with a decent offensive line, and I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek because the Arizona Cardinals are still a work in progress, but with a decent offensive line, Carson is able to string off a series of wins and put the Arizona Cardinals in playoff contention. And so that's what the San Francisco 49ers are up against, and they're playing well with about 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Up 24-3, and it just looks like, you know, RG3 and the Redskins cannot get anything going, Sean Wally.
Well, it's definitely a must win for the San Francisco 49ers, who have come on rough times here in the last few weeks. And you have to say that the Washington Redskins are one of the biggest disappointments in the NFL this season, right there with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about the Houston Texans, the Washington Redskins, the Atlanta Falcons. I can't say it enough. The New York Giants. And so, You know, there's a lot of parity in the NFL. And just kind of looking at Griffin's numbers, 12 of 22 for 97 yards, it doesn't sound like they are moving the football at all. In San Francisco, it seems like week in and week out, you know, they'll have one decent week, and then the next week they'll fizzle. It seems like they have to prove themselves over and over again. Some question marks coming out of 49ers, not at the actual camp, but the fan base, as far as is Colin Kaepernick the actual quarterback that should be playing for the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, he has definitely regressed in year two, and you can say the same thing about RG3, as the quarterbacks are not doing nearly at the level of play they had last year in their first seasons.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things that Seattle has done so well as far as the past couple of years are concerned. They've gotten better. There's been a progression. Sometimes teams buy into the fact that they are this great product as advertised, and it feels like they're going through the motions it feels like they're doing the extra things in the offseason, but actually they're going through the motions. And, you know, really those types of teams and what San Francisco is going through right now, they're the last to know. They're the last to know that maybe they didn't put as much as they thought they did. And so, you know, staring at 6-4, you know, they're coming out and they're making sure that they keep pace, and hopefully they can get at least one home game during the playoffs.
Wild craziness all over the NFL, and we're about to hit December on the calendar. Of course, after we get through the great Thanksgiving holiday, and definitely everybody have a safe Thanksgiving weekend and a great time with friends and family. Now, Sean Boyd, let's talk about, we didn't get to talk about this last Monday because you were out under the weather, but you've been doing some great things on the air somewhere else with analyst duties for the NFHS Network and Play On Sports.
Yeah, so last week I had the honor of calling a cross-country championship. So it was the CIF, the California Interscholastic Federation, the San Joaquin sections for divisions 1-5, both boys and girls, varsity, JV. And it was a lot of fun, to be honest with you. You know, it was something that I've never done. Of course, I've run cross country, and, you know, I take a great pride and a great joy in that. And so having the chance to actually call one, you know, it was uncharted waters, but at the same time, at the end of the day, it felt great. And so I hope that, you know, our listeners can go on to NFHSnetwork.com and actually get a chance to listen to some of the great sports that are being put on. And, of course, this past Friday, had the chance to call a superb football game, and that was also the CIF San Joaquin section, and that was the Elk Grove Thundering Herd playing against the Burbank Titans. And of course, there with these two teams, there are a few players that are going on to the next level. And of course, heading up to your neck of the woods, Sean Wally, to Washington State University, there are about three players from Burbank High School. It was a great, entertaining football game. Elk Grove was the team that was steady, stuck with the game plan, had a lot of mistakes, but they never deviated from what they wanted to do. And then there was that great athleticism from Burbank. And so 18-12 score for Elk Grove. And, you know, just having fun, man, having fun, you know, getting the name brand out there, getting the Double S Express name brand out there. And hopefully we can do some more things in the future, man.
And it's great that for you personally that, you know, we've got this show rolling and the show is growing, getting bigger and better. And now you're branching out and being able to get back to analyst duties that you did alongside me for the Tacoma Thunder. And now you're getting to get back to that and add to that analyst hat, get more experience and see where it can take you.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, getting back on a bicycle and riding again. Of course, you're a little bit nervous in the beginning and wondering how you're going to deliver your message. It's not easy, as you know, Sean Wally, to actually paint a picture as a broadcaster on air, whether it's radio or television, for the listener. And so, you know, you take a great pride, I take a great pride in delivering that. And so when we're off the air, if you will, we're still on the air. And so I'm always in the mirror practicing. I'm always doing, you know, something, trying to have some cool little catch or catchphrase or whatever to make it enjoyable for the listener. And so I hope and I pray that our listeners who listen to our show week in and week out, and of course listen to our broadcast for high school sports, and I'm speaking into existence professional sports, can appreciate some of the things that we do.
And for those of you that have tried or will try to see Sean Boyd do his analyst duties for the NFHS Network, it is a subscription pay site, which is, I believe, a minimum of $9.95 for one day, and prices go up from there. If you want to watch any and all sports live, see and hear Sean Boyd's broadcast live. The other option you have is after the broadcast, for 72 hours, anybody can access that on demand. So you have 3 days, basically, after the fact, where you can go back, watch the broadcast, tune in for a few minutes on demand, and see what you think, and hear Sean Boyd in action.
And I mean, for a few bucks, I mean, that it's definitely worth it. I mean, not to listen to me especially, but to, if you have family members or friends that are, you know, playing in these in a divisional game or a playoff game or what have you, even regular season, it gives you that opportunity to go on there and have 72 hours to watch it over and over again. You can DVR it or record it if you want. And it's a great network that is reaching out to the high schools all across the country. And so it's really good to be a part of it.
Sean, before we wrap things up, let's go ahead and get back to the NFL ranks and the big game coming up next Monday that might put a wrinkle into our show. We haven't decided which road we're going to take to bring you on the double next Monday night. The Monday night matchup that we got into a little bit with Paul Moyer, our big time guest, number one tonight, the Saints visiting the Seahawks.
Yeah, so the Saints getting a chance to come up to CenturyLink Field. And, you know, we've talked about this before. And, of course, you had an interesting article that you sent to me earlier today as far as, you know, where stadiums rank or crowds rank in, you know, in historicalness, if that is a word. And the Seattle Seahawks are the fourth best crowd ever. And so now if you're talking about crowds this year as an NFL crowd, well, let's face it, Seattle is either number one or number two, depending on if you're coming from the Pacific Northwest or from the Midwest in Missouri. But Seattle is definitely one of the tops, and New Orleans is coming into that. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Sean Payton puts together a game plan and Drew Brees, how he handles that crowd noise. And, you know, New Orleans had a tough time against San Francisco, and that was a home game for them. And so, you know, I just can't help but think with a bye week for Seattle, get a chance to lick their wounds a little bit, get a chance to overcome some of this media stuff that's been going on. I believe that Seattle's going to take care of business at home.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting bye week for the Seahawks. You had the highs of Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman making the rounds down in L.A., getting on all the different sports shows on NFL Network, ESPN, and the like. And now you have more bad news off the field, that Brandon Browner being suspended. What started out as Michael Silver reported being an 8-game PED violation apparently has turned in, if you believe what ESPN is saying, to a 1-year non-PED substance abuse violation. So you've got the good, you've got the bad. And from a fan standpoint, it just gets frustrating that these guys, doesn't matter what team they're on or who you're a fan of, but if whether it's you, Sean Boyd, and the Raiders, you take one of your top guys and they just do something that is just frustrating and dumbfounded, knowing that it's wrong, knowing that maybe, depending on what it is, it might be illegal if it's a DUI or what have you, yet these decisions continually are made. And no, nobody is perfect, but you go to the cookie jar once, get your hand slapped. You go back and do it again, that's totally 125% on the person and the player. And it's just mind-boggling how this continues to happen for all kinds of pro athletes all over the board.
Yeah, the human mind and the psyche of you know, of some of these players, it is mind-boggling. But with that is the understanding that some people can handle fame and then some people can't. Now, I'm not saying that Browner can't handle fame, because I believe that, you know, after this slap, it's a huge slap on the wrist if it's 1 year. After this, I believe that he can definitely right the ship and become a great upstanding citizen in the National Football League. But when you start to have the successes and the winnings and everybody, you have enough people that say, hey, man, you're awesome. I just truly believe that some people can't handle that fame and that fortune, and they really don't know that until they're actually going through that process. And so that's why you see a lot of the players that make this mistake and they use performance-enhancing drugs, or maybe there's a DUI here or maybe a domestic violence deal there, is they, you know, some of these players cannot find a way to channel the excitement that they're having on the gridiron or the court or on the baseball diamond into what they do in everyday life and society. And so it is tough. And I believe that professional sports is working on that. That's why they have these rookie symposiums, and they try to teach these athletes, you know, the perils and the pitfalls that can come, you know, from, you know, success. And it's up to them to actually adhere to it, or they can ignore it and wind up paying the consequences later down the road.
And it's amazing in this day and age with social media and everything being instant. And it happened this afternoon in this situation with Browner in Seattle, that first off, it appeared that Michael Silver broke the story. Turns out his initial PED violation was wrong. And so that got sent out that way, and people started getting harassed and hollered at on social media for jumping the gun. And it's just, you know, like our buddy at Seattle Sports Hub, Taylor, who we've been on his show. He also has a sports show in Seattle. And, you know, he was getting belittled and berated by supposed Seahawk fans because he got frustrated and said, you know, this is getting ridiculous, and retweeted something where somebody said a similar thing. And people just were, you know, chomping at the bit and coming at him with fangs out and wanting blood. And it's like, this is insane. And you had, you know, somebody like KJR Softy Mahler say, you know, this is the most crazy 30 minutes I've ever dealt with in 20 years of being in sports broadcasting, because of everything being instant and not all the information being 100% correct. And people were just flying off the handle. It was getting ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, and hopefully, you know, with the fans tend to forgive a lot more when it's their team. And so, you know, it is a fine line that you walk. I'm sure there are some Seahawk fans that say, wow, this is just ridiculous and we need to do something about it. But then
exactly. And it definitely does get ridiculous. And, you know, hopefully players will continue to do the right thing, because there are so many. 98% of them do the right thing. And it's just a shame when one or two go astray, and that puts a lot of them under that same microscope and in that light that isn't the way that most of the guys, the Russell Wilsons of the world and the good guys on all the teams throughout the country, throughout sports, are doing the right thing, doing things for charity at Children's Hospital, giving back to the community. And they are very humble, and they understand that they're blessed. And it just would be nice if, you know, people didn't jump on social media and get crazy and say whatever they want. But that's what it's there for, too. And I guess, in a way, it's freedom of the press and freedom of speech. And that's the world we live in today. So,
yeah. And, you know, as I mentioned before, just the humanistic approach, you know, that and understanding that, hey, you know, if your house isn't made of glass, then, yeah, you can cast the first stone, if you will. But, you know, we've all made a mistake or two, and so we have to have that understanding. Hey, you know, people make mistakes, and, you know, if they continue to do them, then, you know, shame on them and shame on us for, you know, actually continuing to follow what they do. But, you know, I'm always of the adage of giving a person another chance. And so, you know, I believe Brandon Browner, I believe, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, you know, anybody, you know, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, basketball, you name it, they deserve a second chance. And so I believe that Brandon Browner is going to come back with a renewed mind.
So do you have an update on any of the games we've been following here tonight, the Monday Night Football game or the contest in the Maui Invitational?
Yeah, you know, so San Francisco's putting it on them. 7 minutes left, 27-6 over the Redskins. And, man, it's not looking good for the Silver Swords in their first game in the Maui Invitational. Right now they're down by 20 with 7 minutes left. And, you know, I guess the slipper has turned back into a pumpkin, Sean Wally, for the Chaminade Silver Swords.
Well, hopefully Chaminade will definitely learn from this experience and grow as a basketball team and have bigger things to come when this season moves forward.
Yeah, well, they'll either have the Dayton Flyers tomorrow or the Gonzaga Bulldogs. So either way, this is a 24-hour rule. Shake it off and be ready to play tomorrow.
Sean Boyd, show 29 just about in the books. Any final thoughts or final things you want to get to?
Well, most definitely in this time of the year, as we're going into the holiday season, you know, have a blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving to all our listeners, to all our family and friends. This is a time to actually reflect on, you know, the great things that have happened in our lives and to actually, you know, look at our family and our friends. And if you don't do that, you know, but to tell them, hey, how much you appreciate them, how much you love them. And, you know, I'm looking forward to a great Thanksgiving this Thursday.
Absolutely. Thanksgiving, a great time for friends and family and good eats for sure. And being thankful for everything that each of us is hopefully blessed for.
And I'm thankful for the Oakland Raiders getting a chance to play this Thursday and beating the tar out of the Dallas Cowboys.
I will drink to that, most definitely. Anytime the Cowboys go down, I am right there with you.
Well, you know, as I say all the time, Tony Romo, there he had a decent game. He won yesterday, but that train is never late. He is due for a debacle, and I believe that it'll happen this Thursday.
All right, Sean Boyd, show 29 in the books. You have yourself a great Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you potentially next Monday, one way or another.
Yes, and so, and of course, to a shouts out to our engineers, Don and Doug Newsom. Thank you for everything that you do. Happy holidays and happy Thanksgiving to you. And we look forward to many, many more great shows coming up here and starting next week.
And once again, a big thank you to our big-time guests here on The Double with the Double S Express. Big-time guest number one, Paul Moyer, former Seattle Seahawk player and coach, now on the Seahawk Radio Network. And Jason Gesser, big-time guest number two, former Washington State Cougar quarterback, now quarterback coach at the University of Wyoming.
You know, two great guests that we had on the show today. Excellent insight. And, in you know, that's the beauty that I love about our show, Sean Wally, is that I always walk away with a gem or a nugget from each of our guests. And, you know, much appreciative to Paul Moyer and Jason Gesser for the knowledge that they gave to our listeners. And, you know, look forward to hearing from them down the road.
Well, Sean, you're going to get a good kick and a very nice touch out of this. You and, of course, your wife, Denise, and the entire Boyd family. I just got a text from one Paul Moyer where I first thanked him for his time and his insight. He says, Sean, thanks. Enjoyed hanging with you and Sean. Tell Sean Boyd good luck watching his son from afar. Hard to let your kids grow up. Smiley face. We will be checking on Devon's career. Blessings.
Awesome stuff, you know, and of course, you know, Paul had the chance to talk about his son and just understanding what it takes and what it's like to be a dad trying to do the right thing. I mean, you know, you just don't know. There's no dad's manual. You just kind of, you know, you wake up and you just think, Lord, you know, I hope that I'm doing the right thing and I hope that my children adhere to it and are successful beyond belief. So thank you, Paul Moyer, for those kind words and many blessings and success to you and yours down the road as well.
That's going to do it for show 29 here on the Double with the Double S Express. For Sean Boyd down in Elk Grove, California, I'm Sean Wally, Tri-Cities, Washington. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next time for show 30 on the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the...